You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Americans are angry, they're disappointed, and they are worried about the future of this country. Just 21% of adults say we are heading in the right direction, and once again, 3 out of 4 Americans say we are on the wrong track. In fact, this number, never before in our poll, has this wrong track number been over 70% for this long. It's been nearly a year now. 58%, by the way, say America's best years are behind us. That's an all-time high in our poll. So what is behind this rise in pessimism about our country's future? Well, it starts with this. Americans don't like either party, and they don't like anyone in power.
That's true. They don't like anybody in power because we have so many people in power that shouldn't be there, but that's our fault. We elect them. Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Larry Connors USA. I'm Randy Mayfield, and I'm filling in for these couple of days, yesterday and today, for Larry Connors. We're live here on KXEN Radio, AM and FM, and we're also streaming on Rumble.com. You can go to Rumble.com and put in one word, Larry Connors USA, and you can watch today's show live, or you can watch shows from the past, and you can also go to LarryConnorsUSA.com to see shows from the past. So, as you know, this radio show is it's more of a commentary on what's happening today in the news. It's not necessarily a hard news show, though. We feature a lot of news. And Larry, of course, as I said before, is a news guy. He's fantastic. I'm an interview guy. The shows I did in the past, I would interview people. But I am a concerned citizen and American, and I care for our country and where it's heading. So I'm happy to make comments on certain subjects. And I want, in this next segment, just to share a few things with you. It may spill over to the next segment because, let me be honest with you. I'm working on all my stuff last night, getting sound bites, which you have to do, and it's a lot of work. I mean, you know, Larry, you guys, if you don't appreciate the guy who does it 5 days a week, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work for our board guy, Quentin and Mark and other people who do that. They have to get all the spots together. So I'm working, and I've got a couple hours of work done, and my computer crashes. And so, like everyone else, I threw the computer across the room. No, I didn't. I was a bit concerned. I'd put in a lot of work, and my wife, she tried to console me just a bit, but it was difficult. I have another computer. I went to it and started looking up other things and typed up some ideas and emailed them to myself. And when I got back into the studio today, I plugged my computer in, my old computer in. A lot of the stuff came back up, but it was nerve-wracking for a while there. I don't know. When you're on live especially, you know, when you can edit stuff out and do whatever. But like I said, I am a concerned American, and I'm glad to share. I want to share some of my comments and commentary in this segment and the next segment. Some of you know I grew up in California. Yeah. In the 60s and 50s and 60s, it was a little bit different than it is now. Governor Newsom, I don't think, was even born yet, so everything was going much better in the 50s and 60s. But I moved away to college, went to Oklahoma, and there I met my girlfriend, who is still my girlfriend, but also my bride for the last 43 years. And in 1979, a young man by the name of Larry Connors was on a committee to bring a media person and a worship person to Central Presbyterian Church. So this California guitar playing, long-haired 22-year-old came to, with his gorgeous wife, rock star wife, came to St. Louis and went to Central Church. And when I first walked into the sanctuary with my guitar, it was as though the Antichrist had entered. These people in this big, tall cathedral church, used to their big pipe organ, and they see this young buck walk in with his beautiful bride and a guitar. Now, let me just say this. The Bible talks about stringed instruments. It doesn't talk about organs. But anyway, that's beside the point. But after a while, we brought in a new element of worship with contemporary worship. I've always said the new worship songs are the fireworks. I know. And the old hymns are the stars. They remain forever. The theology is better. Everything's better. So I lay that groundwork because 42 years later, I was still there. God was good, and I was able to serve as their missions pastor, and led contemporary music. If you want to know more about that and about my story, you can go to randymayfield.com and got a lot of the music, and I've got a book called One Life. You can do that. But in the next hour, I want to talk a little bit more about some specific subjects and where I, as a pastor and as an American, come down thinking about those subjects. Of course, the biggest issue is still the hurricane in Florida. We'll talk about that a little bit more, and certainly we want to lift them up in our prayers. I just read online that it's now gone into South Carolina. Millions of people without power, millions more without, you know, their homes are not protected. It's a tough situation. So in the next segment, we'll go into some of these things, and I'll share some of my thoughts on it. So stay with us right here, Larry Connors, USA.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. President, as you know, last Tuesday, the annual inflation rate came in at 8.3%. The stock market nosedived. People are shocked by their grocery bills. What can you do better and faster?
Well, first of all, let's put this in perspective. Inflation rate month to month was just an inch. Hardly at all.
You're not arguing that 8.3 is good news.
No, I'm not saying it's good news, but it was 8.2 or 8.2 before. I mean, it's not. I can make it sound like all of a sudden, my God, it went to 8.2%.
It's the highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that, but guess what we are?
Guess what we are? I don't know what you are. He's. I can't help it. I'm sorry, but. Well, it's been 8.2% before. 40 years ago, Mr. President, 40 years ago. I don't know what to say. I just could say this, sir. You need to do something about it. And you might need to seek some help. You know, there were presidents in the past who weren't the brightest tools out of the toolbox. But they surrounded themselves with wisdom, with people that could help them. I don't see that happening in this administration. I mean, we just heard earlier, Kamala doesn't know where she is and who she's hanging out with. We'll play a clip about her later. And we'll talk about what people are thinking. Even the Democrats don't want Biden to run. And I get it. Come on, man. Come on, man. So let's talk a little bit about it, the economy and inflation and some of those subjects. I believe we're not to be lovers of money. I've said that before. But we need money. Money is a tool. But we need to be good stewards of the treasures that we have. And, when your portfolio has dropped 20 to 25%, mine has, and I know many of yours has as well. And I'm retired, so I don't have a lot of other outside sources of income. What do we do about it? Do we complain? Yeah, you can complain, but that doesn't do much. I'm thankful that my needs have been supplied. God has supplied all of our needs. We know that. But hey, what if I really have to bite the bullet and cut back? Which do I give up? Netflix, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus is already gone, and I have reasons for that. You guys probably have heard the news about Disney as well. But, you know, maybe I have to cut back on cigarettes. Well, that's easy for me. I've never smoked. Maybe I need to cut back on alcohol. I don't drink, so that's okay. Uh-oh, overeating. That one kind of nails me. All right, I can cut back on eating out and eating the wrong things and save some money. But we don't want to do that. We just want to live in – it's such a first world problem. I have traveled to 90 countries. I've seen how people live and how they struggle and how they suffer. I've been in Ukraine just before the war broke out, and some areas out there were tough before. I've been to Kenya. I've been to South Africa. I've been to Haiti. Haiti's one of – it's so close to us, an hour away from Florida, a flight, and it's one of the poorest places in the world, especially if you go to the islands like Laganov. And yet we complain, and I do. I admit I do complain because it's tough. And the president, though, the thing that's frustrating, he doesn't get it. Well, it's been this bad before. Well, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of bad things that have happened before. My girlfriend, who is also my wife of 43 years, her plan, which I don't like her plan, but she says she won't turn the heater up because it's too expensive. Gas has gone up, and we have gas heat, I guess. And so she just puts more blankets on the bed. Well, I mean, that's an answer, but I don't particularly like it because you have to get out of bed to go to the bathroom or to take a shower or whatever, and it's freezing. But anyway, I love you, baby, but come on. Let's turn the heat up just a little bit. Here's a guy named Caleb Silver. He's from Investopedia. He has this to say about what's going on with the economy.
Right now, and especially over the past few weeks, and we fielded the survey right up until yesterday afternoon, People are freaking out. So they feel like they're on thin ice. Most of them feel like the market has further to fall. Most of them feel like the market has another 5 to 10% at least to fall over the next 6 months. This is as scared as we've seen them, and we talked about this being potentially a contrarian indicator. Sometimes it is. This one doesn't feel that way just because of the preponderance of just anxiety and the things they're searching for. That's really got our attention.
Yeah, that does have our attention. Now, here's the thing that's interesting when you talk about inflation that the president doesn't think we're incurring. Do you know there's some people that like inflation, that want inflation? Do you know who that is, believe it or not? A lot of big businesses. I just got an article yesterday. CEO says he's been praying for inflation because it's an excuse to jack up the prices. Thank you so much. The CEO of Iron Mountain, William Meany. Meany. His last name is Meany. Did you hear that? He says that the high levels of inflation in the past several years have helped his company increase its margins. And for that reason, he's long been doing my inflation dance, praying for inflation. Dude, okay. I mean, I get it. These companies think only of themselves. The fact that the people that work for him are not able to get the groceries they need and able to buy the gas they need for their cars, that's inconsequential because he is a fat cat sitting at the top, and this inflation is helping Iron Mountain. Iron Mountain is a data storage management company, by the way. It's based in Boston. And, yeah, they had a market capitalization of $12 billion. And this wasn't just a one-off comment from him. He said this as far back as 2018, that he actually does a native Indian ritual dance, just like a rain dance, praying for inflation. Another article here says, is inflation good or bad? Well, yes. When you get up to like 8.3%, 8.5% inflation, there are higher prices. It's bad. But it can be good for the economy. World economists say if it's a gradual, easy increase, it makes things better. But our dollars, as you know, are worth less with inflation, and we have less purchasing power. But it can be a good thing because – especially if you own property and houses, because if you're locked in at a mortgage rate and everything else is going sky high, you're locked in. So that's a good thing. But that's kind of like, I think that's not being very positive about what's going on. So that's the issue with inflation. The other issue that we want to talk about, that I want to comment on a little bit, is immigration. And I know there's so many, we talked a little bit about that with Dr. Doriani. It's hard to call. You want people that need help to get help. You want people that are being persecuted in their countries to be able to come to a free America. America is built on immigration, but it's gotten out of hand. With hundreds of thousands of people coming across and so many drug dealers, all those kind of things. Let's listen to this spot here.
I understand wanting to fix the issue. Let's fix it. But to fix the issue, first of all, you need a working government. It can't be shut down. And second of all, you need to take all the steps so we're not exactly in the same situation 20 years from now, having to, you know, just sign an amnesty to let everybody stay, because again, people kept crossing the border, people kept overstaying their visas, they kept not following the law, and at the end, they know they're going to be rewarded with citizenship, which is a slap in the face of legal immigrants like myself. And if you are a legal immigrant and you're not offended by it, you got to check your pulse. If you are a legal immigrant and you're here and you're voting Democrat, you got to check your brain, because you're voting for exactly the same things that you left behind. And this is going to eventually turn into what you abandoned.
Okay, so that was not me speaking about illegal aliens. That was a legal immigrant talking about, she's from Brazil. Her name is Sybil Capizuti. She's from Brazil. And she is ticked. And many, I've heard from many legal immigrants who've come over, who've jumped through the hoops, they've done the work, and they're so upset that our government is allowing tens and hundreds of thousands of illegals to come in, and they're not doing anything about it. And they're astonished, they're angry. Like I said, they spent, you know, years getting status here in America. Now the government simply just welcomes them, and they know they're eventually just going to get their status. And it's sad. And we talked a little bit about the drug cartels that are taking advantage of it, sex traffickers. Again, we'll talk to Pat Bradley a little bit later on about sex trafficking. And, yeah, there's some good, honest people trying to immigrate. That's fantastic. But we just don't have a good way to vet these folks. I mean, there's so many of them. And I might have mentioned earlier, but, you know, we're not the only ones talking about building a wall. 50 other countries that I know of have walls. Hungary and Greece and, of course, Palestine and Israel. They have walls. It's for a reason. Some of the reasons are really good. Some of them aren't. But it makes sense. You've got to protect yourselves. And that's what I liked about, you know, America First. I think we need to help the world. We have the money and the power and the love for the world. Americans are amazing people. And in almost every country I've been to, whether they like all of our governmental policies or not, they'll say America is fantastic. I remember I was in, I think it was Hungary, and I'm in a school talking to these kids. It was at the Shakespeare School, which, they, you know, they learned English, so they knew English. And this was right after 9/11. I had flown over to London. I was in the air when 9/11 was happening, but we were close to London. We landed in London, stayed there a week. And after that, I went to this school. Oh, it's Bulgaria, not Hungary, Bulgaria. I went to the school in Bulgaria, and we're talking to the kids, and they were saying, you know, America deserved what they got. They're so proud. They're so haughty. They're so da-da-da. And I said, you know what? I wasn't going to sit there and defend things. I'm in a classroom of Bulgarians. I said, you know, I understand you guys, you know, are upset at some of the things America's done, and but, you know, you're here because of what America's done. You're free. And I think you should defend Bulgaria. It's your country. Love your country. But you don't have to hate another country to love your own. And then I just said, I want to point out something to you. You say America's so bad, you don't like America. Would each of you, there's about 25 students in this class at their desk, would each of you look down at your book on the desk, your notebooks? And I'm not kidding you, to a person was an American celebrity, an American, you know, whatever they had on their books, the covers. It was about America. They get it. They know. And yeah, it's okay, America got their comeuppance, according to them, but they know better. They know that America is a land of the free and the brave, and we're seeing some of those things deteriorate, and that's what saddens me. And with this immigration stuff, we've got to get a hold of it. 2 million immigration arrests along the southern border in the last 11 months. 2 million arrests. Higher than it's ever been. And yet they have control. We've heard both Kamala and Mr. Biden, President Biden, say, we've got it under control. Kamala was interviewed the other day. Is it Kamala? Kamala or Kamala? I don't know. Kamala. I think it's Kamala, like a comma. Kamala was interviewed the other day and said, you know, we've got the border in control. And she starts going off, and the interviewer said, Ms. Harris, have you ever been to the border? Well, we have been. No. Have you ever been to the border? She's the one who's supposed to be overseeing this. And she had to say, well, I've never been there, but I know what's going on. Come on, man. That's what her boss would say. Come on, man. 2 million arrests in the last 11 months. It's the first time that they've exceeded that threshold in many years. In August, a couple months ago, they detained 203,000, more than that, migrants across from Mexico alone. And they're on pace for 2.3 million arrests, as I said earlier. And it's historic what's going on. People coming up from Mexico and Central America. And the problem is they're not helping control in Mexico and Venezuela, Nicaragua, Honduras. People are coming from all those areas up through Mexico and into Texas and California. And 175% increase in immigration. So that's since just a year ago. 175%. There's so many statistics on it. You know, encounters with illegals was 241,000 people in 2020, and double that now, 488,000. So, yeah, we'll hear more about the immigration thing, but it's a difficult situation because of all it relates to, with the drug stuff, with the trafficking. We'll talk more about that when we return. Right here at Larry Connors, USA. I'm Randy Mayfield. We'll be right back.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring. And today there were several demonstrations of just that point.
Kamala, have you ever been to North Korea? We don't have a strong alliance and relationship with North Korea. They're trying to blow the heck out of everybody. That's your vice president, ladies and gentlemen. She's got a strong and important relationship and alliance with North Korea. I've been to South Korea. It's a very nice place. I've actually crawled under the tunnels to the edge of North Korea, and I've looked into North Korea. But we do not have an important, strong relationship with North Korea. We pointed out in the past a lot of the president's gaffes and mistakes. And again, not talking about his stuttering. I know that's a physical issue. God bless him. That's not the issue. The issue is not knowing the names of people, not knowing what we've been doing around the world. And like his vice president, thinking we're in strong relationship with North Korea. I played that just to let you know that I'm frightened. I'm afraid. I'm like every celebrity. I'm leaving the United States. It's another thing that cracks me up. All these people, when the wrong person gets elected, I am leaving the United States. Okay, Ozzy Osbourne is the latest. You're not American. You're from England. Go home. I mean, you know, God bless you. Ozzy, we've loved you. You've been such a good role model for our children. So go back to England and look bad there instead of here. Kamala. Let's look really quickly, because we've only got a few minutes in this segment, at what's coming up with the midterm elections and even the 2024 presidential elections.
The midterms happen exactly in the middle of a president's term, 2 years after a presidential election and 2 years before the next presidential election. They're a big check of the national mood. They tell people where you stand on the current administration, on the current party in power, what issues are animating people. You learn a lot from that, and that sets up the next presidential election.
Yeah, again, go ahead and play the next clip. It talks about the election coming on.
What could cause the Democrats to lose their majority?
Okay, so Vlad, let's start with this. The current House, blue for Democratic seats, red for Republicans. And what folks should see is Democrats have this narrow majority, just over that 218 line that you need. Well, we talk to voters in all these districts. And when you put that together in the model, right now I'm going to show you how this just swings a little bit. You see, some of these seats go over the line. That would give the Republicans control at 230 currently, where things stand. Now, the reason for that, number one reason I'm going to show you, is voters say what's on their mind is the way they think things are just going in the country, and they think it's going badly. So what happens? Well, they start to punish the party in power for that, and those who think it's going badly are breaking towards the Republicans.
You know, that's kind of typical in an election cycle, especially in the midterms, where the party who's not in power tends to lose and the other party's in power. And it's kind of tight right now. The abortion Roe v. Wade thing kind of swayed things to the Democrats for a while because there's so many that want the privilege of killing their children. And so they're swinging against the Republicans who say a child is a living being created by God. We don't want you to kill him. And they don't agree with that, so they're leaning that way. But then it really comes down to their pocketbook in this election and inflation and all those things. And so it's starting to swing back. It's going to be very tight. I personally believe Republicans will take the House and the Senate, and we'll see what happens out there. One of the things that's kind of interesting in the 2024 presidential race, 75%, this is CNN, said 75% of Democratic voters want someone other than Biden to run. That's 75%. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to turn around. But on the other hand, some polls show Biden and Trump neck and neck, and Democrat Kamala Harris, if she runs, that's not going to help. But there was another poll. This came out, and polls are polls. You know, you take them for what they're worth. Majority of registered voters, 51%, now believe Trump should not be allowed to serve as president again. Only 35% say he should. And so this is a Yahoo poll, so it's bad news for the former president. But, Biden had a 6-point lead over him. It's now down to 2 points. So this, not only the midterms, but the presidential election is going to be tight. So you need to stand up for what you believe. I'm not telling you what to believe, but you can call me, and I will. And you need to be strong, and you need to get out and vote. We'll be back with more of Larry Connors USA, and I'll talk some more about current news. Stay with us.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Most people do not understand the volume of trafficking that's going on in America, in our own backyard.
People want to think that human trafficking only exists in foreign countries.
The recruitment is happening online and on apps and on social media where all the kids are.
You are a product and you have no other value.
Wow, that is sad. You are a product, you have no other value when you're caught up in sex trafficking. Well, my special guest deals with that issue and many others. Mr. Pat Bradley from Crisis Aid. He has a ministry of working with those who are involved in sex trafficking here in America and around the world. And he provides aid to refugees, particularly in Africa and other places around the world. And he is a great friend. And Pat, so wonderful to have you back on the program today.
Oh, thank you, Randy. It's good to be with you again.
You know, you're just one of those guys. I've told you this. We go to lunch every once in a while and hang out. I feel a special bond. I don't know. I think God just makes special bonds. And when I'm with you, there's just no pretense. There's no having to play to be something else. We can just be brothers in the Lord together, and I love that.
Oh, so do I. Besides that, we have a lot of laughs.
We do have a lot of laughs. But seriously, we need to talk about that. I provide 95% of them, so you really got to up your game.
That's because I can't get a word in edgewise.
Okay, that's the truth. How dare you sound like my wife?
I'm sorry, I'm on the air for that. I was just kidding.
Oh, well, I said something. You know, my wife and I haven't had an argument for about 2 years because she hasn't had a chance to say anything during that time. But anyway, Pat, you know, we're having fun and we're laughing, but, you know, what you do is just serious, serious business. Would you share with our listeners, I know you were with me a couple months ago, but just give us a nutshell of, because there's so many things that you're involved with Crisis Aid.
I think the bigger picture, I'll start there, is like you mentioned sex trafficking. We've been involved in sex trafficking work, rescue, and rehabilitation of victims since 2006. We've worked in three or four different countries right now. Primarily, our work is here in the United States with victims and catching girls before they become victims, as well as we've got a large work in East Africa where we're working with hundreds of girls on almost a daily basis now who we've gotten out of a horrible red light district there. And we also have large-scale food programs in East Africa, two pediatric hospitals, orphanage, water programs. We've got job training and creating new opportunities for people who are living in some very, very impoverished areas of Africa that literally have no opportunities to improve themselves. And, you know, Randy, for us as Americans, we just can't grasp what that means.
Amen.
And I was probably there for 10 years in the middle of all of that before it finally dawned on me is that these people have no opportunity. There's nothing here. And so, you know, we're implementing programs, agriculture, dairy, a couple other things to help bring in changes to teach them a new way of being able to, you know, support themselves in the future. And that's just some of what we do. We are very much involved in supporting pastors who are working in some very hostile environments in Africa right now. And that's about it for what I can say.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to talk about your new book coming out in a minute because you say a lot in there that I was amazed. I knew a little bit about you. But what was there a moment, what was it that made you say, I have got to do this? I can't refuse to do nothing, as you say, but I've got to do this. What was that turning point in your life?
I think it was, it actually were two things. One, at the night that I gave my life to Christ, I bought the book called God Smuggler. It's a story about Brother Andrew. And after reading that book, I was so moved by what I had read. I had just prayed and asked God that if he could ever use me, then I'm just making myself available. And then 5 years later or 4 years later, I found myself doing my first Bible smuggling trip into the Soviet Union. But fast forward to the year 2000, it was in South Sudan.
Yeah.
We were on a trip, and fact-finding trip. And the last day in the country, we came across people that there were about 70 men, women, and children. I go into much more detail in the book. But as we were leaving, we had nothing to give these people, Randy. They were living, they escaped from their villages the night before. And these were the survivors of, you know, they were attacked. They were hundreds of miles from food, water, and shelter, and it was 120 degrees, 125 degrees during the daytime. There was nothing, and they were going to die.
Oh.
And we had literally nothing in our hands to give them. And I remember feeling so helpless, but when I looked back over my shoulder as we were pulling away, I just heard this voice said, doing nothing is no longer an option. And so that was the turning point for me and how Crisis Aid was birthed.
I know it's been tough because you've had many successes, but you've had young children and mothers and people that have lost their lives because you do everything you can, and sometimes it's just not enough, but we have to just keep going. That's got to be difficult for you. You've lived through a lot of things, and you did put a lot of it in your book, For those watching on video, this book is not out yet. I was privileged to get a pre-copy because Pat Bradley is my close personal friend. But anyway, it's called Born...
And you buy lunch.
Yeah, and I buy lunch every once in a while. Born for Rescue, Finding Purpose by Refusing to Do Nothing. That's awesome. Finding purpose by refusing to do nothing. And I think sometimes we get so discouraged, Pat, even in our life here, and I spoke a minute about earlier about we think we have it bad with our first world problems. We have no clue what's going on in the third world. And you and I do, but so many people don't. And we have to do something. And I've tried to do that with my life, but you have done it in unbelievable ways. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write the book and some of the highlights of the book.
Well, to really be honest, I didn't really want to write a book because I'm just, yeah.
I know
I can't
the feeling.
See myself sitting down.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Trying to sit down and write a book. Ooh. But
it's
a good friend of mine who's a publisher and iDisciple Publishing was on a trip to Ethiopia and he'd heard some of the stories. And he basically convinced me and said, hey, if we come back, you know, we'll publish the book. We'll help you get a ghostwriter. So really all I did was sit down and tell stories to this writer named yeah. John Driver. He's a pastor. And he masterfully put this book together. So I'm amazed when I look at this, like, what a good job he did. But I just couldn't sit there and write a book on this thing. But one of the things about this book that I think is important that I want people to understand is that, you know, God has a plan for all of our lives. And we all at one point in our lives sat there in church and thinking, you know, does my life matter? And what is God's plan for my life? And what should I do? And we all have those thoughts, but we don't know where to turn or what to do. And then we look at, you know, these ministries that, you know, seemingly have a big impact, but we don't, and we kind of put them out there, but we can't see or connect ourselves to them. And so what I wanted people to see was I was an alcoholic. I lost my wife. I lost everything in the world except for my job. And I was just about to lose my job. And I was about as low as you could go. Mm. And I was divorced and God pulled it all together. So if God can do something for me who has, and I really don't have any special skill sets. You should ask my staff. They kind of scratch their head and go, how did he get in this position? But, you know, it's what the book I really wanted to do is I wanted to give people the courage to pursue the call of God on their lives. Mm. And I think that we lose the fact that God does have, he's wired us, you know, he's got intention in our lives and we just need to put ourselves in that by looking for it that way as opposed to trying to figure everything out. Take the first step,
yeah.
You know, just get out of the church pew and help the first person you see and see what God does with it.
Yeah. And like you said, giving up is just not an option, you know?
No, never is.
I love the passage when you signed the book for me, after I bought you lunch, you put the passage Matthew 25:40, which says, truly I say to you, as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That's what it's all about. As we do it for those who've been sex trafficked, for those who are starving in Sudan, as we do that, we are doing it unto Christ. So this is not for us to gain earthly power or any kind of honor for ourselves. It's for Christ. That's why you do it.
Right. And you know, and that's a great point, Randy, because if we think about, if we get so, because we do, we tend to get lost in what's God's plan for my life, what can I do, or whatever. If we just take that simple thought, and Jesus said it, whatever you do,
yeah,
for the least of these, you're doing it for me. So,
amen.
Hey, just, you know, help somebody and let that be the start of a new life for you.
Yeah, well, we've only got 1 minute, but let me ask you real quickly. You have a chapter in your books called Asking Better Questions. How did that come about?
That came about, that was a statement I heard Tony Robbins make a long time ago, and I thought it was a brilliant statement. And that statement helped us take our food programs and completely change everything that we do and how we approach our work in East Africa. And it has made incredible impact that we never dreamed possible just by asking a different question than what we normally would ask of ourselves.
Amen. Well, we're out of time, as usual. We've just gotten started. We'll have to do another.
Yeah.
We'll have to do another lunch. But, you know, I'm so impressed. God bless you, and thanks for being with us, Pat. We'll be back.
can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, the Biden administration is scaling back its plan to forgive student loan debt for millions of borrowers. The Department of Education changed its guidance on who qualifies for this. Borrowers whose federal student loans are guaranteed by the government but held by private lenders will now be excluded. The reversal comes as six Republican-led states sue the president in order to keep that plan from taking effect.
Uh-oh. I got to go sell that car I bought. I'm not going to get my money back. You know, we knew this was too good to be true. It was also an illegal move by the White House doing an executive order to pay off all these people. 770,000 students will no longer get their refund. So the Biden administration still hopes to roll out their first wave of payments, loan forgiveness in October. We'll have to wait and see because things may change again in October. So don't count your chickens, ladies and gentlemen, before they're hatched because we'll have to see what happens. So another clip that I kind of enjoyed. This is just for fun, but I heard this on late night TV. This is what he said.
According to estimates from the Congressional Budget Office, President Biden's plan to forgive $10,000 per borrower in federal student loan debt will cost nearly $400 billion or in student loan terms, $27 a month for 30 billion years.
I don't know if you've had a student loan. Thankfully, I didn't. I sang my way through school. But, you know, you get to pay off a little bit over and over, and it gets bad with all the interest and everything. So it just takes a 30 billion years to pay off $27 a month. For those of you who do have student loans, not a laughing matter, I understand. But I know that there are those who paid for their school, and I'm wondering, had they thought about giving refunds to those who did have to put up a lot of their hard-earned money to go to school? Boy, when I went to school, I think it was a couple thousand dollars a semester. And then when my kids started going to school, it was about $5,000 to $10,000. I mean, it's crazy. I know it's ridiculous. But here's the deal. You don't get in over your head unless you have a government like ours who you know is going to, you know, bail you out. But I don't think they knew that going in, and I think some people made mistakes. I mean, I looked online at some of the degrees that some of these folks got. $75,000, $80,000, and they got a degree in studying, seaweed or something. I mean, it's frustrating. So, oh, by the way, Mr. President, my mortgage. What do you think? Is it possible we could be have our loans forgiven for that, too? I don't know. That seems to be a problem for a lot of people. Maybe not. We had to kind of rush out of our last interview with Pat Bradley, and I just want to say that go to his webpage. It's just www.crisisaid.org. And then get his book. For those of you watching on video, I'm holding it up here. It's called Born for Rescue. It's amazing. I knew a lot about Pat. I've known him for several years. But not until I read this book did I really find out some of the things he was involved with. And if you do go to that website, it really gives you a good idea of what they're doing. Again, it's just crisisaid.org. And it talks about their mission of saving lives, saving souls, changing futures. You get some ideas of where they serve around the world. And it's the projects they have with community help, a girls' village. He talked about rescuing. I heard some stories and I read in the book. Rescuing these girls from sex trafficking. They're living in these hovels. I mean, just, this is, I think, Ethiopia, but some part of Africa. They're living in these hovels and sometimes having to turn 6, 7, 8 tricks a day. And these are young girls, some of them teenagers or younger. And Pat and his ministry, his work, they have gone out to make a difference. So go to his website. Let me just say this in closing. This is my last day for a while, and I do appreciate Larry asking me to fill in. It's like I said, it's not always easy, It's a difficult thing to do. It's challenging to find the current, especially challenging if your computer bombs out on you the night before. But there's so many things to talk about, and we try to hit on what we can. I still think we need to go back again just to, at the end of the program, as we did at the beginning, and just continue to think about, you know, what's going on in Florida and the millions of lives that have been impacted. Remember to pray for the people of Florida and now South Carolina. Millions are without power. Several dozen deaths now, and they're thinking over 100 probably by the time they find everybody because they're so isolated. That's kind of taken over the news. If you go on to Yahoo or MSNBC or, as Larry says, CNN, if you go to any of those places, I mean, the top 5, 6, 7 articles are going to be on the hurricane, and it's sad. I do want to thank my guests. Appreciated having Dan Doriani. These are busy people, and they have lives, and they're busy with what they're doing, and I appreciate them coming on the show and being with me. Pat Bradley, in the last hour, we talked to homeschoolers and what was going on there. I'm just looking right now at the Hurricane Ian has made landfall in South Carolina, and they say the storm is unleashing lethal flooding along the coast. So the death toll has reached 25, so as I said, a couple dozen, and they anticipate many more. And there's a lot of video you can go online to watch, and it's just amazing. A 500-year storm, what's gone on. All right, well, I'm going to wrap things up. The Dow is down another 500 points today, so I guess I have to have noodles again for dinner. That's all I need. I've had plenty to eat for a while. But thank you, and Larry, thank you again for letting me be here with you. I'm going to remember today to say, what's my line? Remember our pledge? Quentin, one nation under God. You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. I'm Randy Mayfield, signing off. Until the next time, thank you so much, and have a great, great weekend. God bless. Bye-bye.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.